Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Thank you so much, Dave. Here we are. Wow. Let's ask you a question right at the top. How's your week been so far, huh? Oh, mercy. You know, we all go through these certain periods of life where it's up, it's really up, and it's down, and it's really down. All of that is happening this week, ladies and gentlemen, and it will continue into next week. Whew, usually I don't get on a little tangent about that, but my gracious, has a number of things transpired in the past many days. Hopefully, all of this can get balanced out with the music mix for the next 2 hours, and then a very talented young man comes our way at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Actually, if you're listening in a different time zone or if you're listening in the archives later, we'll have music for 2 hours, and then Todd Simon joins us. It's just Baltimore time, hon. I always talk about it. Hope you're doing well. I hope you had a good Memorial Day weekend. Lots is happening in the universe. Lots we need to focus on. And I think that the way to focus best is with a classic. This is what we usually do when we don't have a guest the first hour. I think it's just real suitable to play Miles Davis with the Gil Evans Orchestra and Summertime on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
You're just a wanderer, the worst of
Baltimore's own Tracy Hamlin. Woohoo! This is Your Life. Now, that's the name of the song. This is the 1977 Norman Connors hit. Norman Connors, Philly jazz drummer, who along with Eleanor Mills made that a pretty hot song in the mid-70s. Tracy really wanted to do it, so she added her incredible magic to it. And actually, Tracy's new CD is going to be called This Is My Life. She's going to have a CD release event coming up on the 2nd, which according to the calendar is what, Sunday? Yeah. And it's going to be at a place called Magoobies in Timonium, Maryland at 5 o'clock, which is pretty cool. These events that are featured like not too late but not mid-afternoon on Sundays are always your best bet. Tracy's going to have a wonderful band with her, and the tickets are $30 before the show, $35 at the door. I think they're just about sold out because whenever she plays in this area, since she's hardly ever in this area, if you keep up with Tracy Hamlin on her Facebook, seriously, she is everywhere with Gloria Gaynor. They can be in Dubai, they can be in Atlantic City, they can be in Greece or London. Tracy is all over the world with Gloria. It's a beautiful blessing to have that. But when she comes back to her hometown, oh my God, relatives come out of the woodwork. All her friends from like 3 states come. It's amazing. So be looking for that. And of course, we'll have Tracy on soon to talk about the new CD. Yay! Michael Bowie, Beautiful Land, Kumba, from his album with the title of the band that is also really happening in the D.C. area, Sine Qua Non. Love to say that right, Sine Qua Non, which essentially means, the definition is actually essential, what is necessary. And honest to gosh, whatever the spiritual connotation that Michael had, and he explained a little bit when he was on the show a couple of weeks ago, loved, 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 loved having him. He was talking about the guys in the group, Victor Provost on steel pan, Mark Prince on drums, Lyle Link doing his wind thing on percussion, Sam Turner. This mix, along with Michael Bowie on bass, is just so delicious. And all of the guys are on the same page about what they wanted to do in the way of a global concept. They're way past the thinking, and sometimes that can be categorized as elitist, of what jazz is. They wanted to have this expansive view of what could be in the way of maybe a Spanish guitar, in the way of the feel of the islands with that steel pan, in the way of orchestration that is not necessarily a domestic vision. Man, we could go on for days. Michael and his lovely wife Marie prefer to think of what they do in their everyday life as organic, and that's what he did with the CD. It's just beautiful. Woo! Miles Davis and the Gil Evans Orchestra, Summertime, from, so hard to say this date, 1959, Porgy and Bess. This was a landmark project for, speaking of which, orchestral jazz. Cannonball Adderley was on this, Paul Chambers, Jimmy Cobb, Philly Joe Jones. Gil Evans and Miles Davis were also on the same page as far as what they wanted to do. Now, here's the cool thing. Miles was shying away from heavy chords. He wanted to get involved in more melody. He called the heavy chording of what was so entrenched in jazz at the time, he called that thick, and he wanted to get more modal. So this particular album, after a little bit of discussion, because Miles wasn't really much on rehearsal, four sessions, July and August of 1958, and this package came out. George Gershwin's opera, Porgy and Bess, Miles certainly had a feel for what was going on in the storyline and in the music. And the reviews of this album were so unbelievable, considered to be one of the most wonderful projects in jazz of all time. And had to play something from Miles, not only because it is summertime essentially after Memorial Day, but Miles' birthday was on May 26th. He was born in 1926, and we lost him in 1991. But, man, this music will go on way past when we are long gone. Man, it's so good. We've got some great music, and hopefully we have enough to flesh out these 2 hours. I tried to see if we could make that happen, because when Todd Simon comes around in the last hour of the show, you better get ready. This is straight ahead jazz with pop and vigor and the feel of the future. It's kind of weird to contemplate this. We lost one of the most stupendous individuals and artists in jazz yesterday than words could articulate, Mulgrew Miller. We were really hoping that at the age of 57, after the second stroke, he would rally. And the night before, he was breathing on his own. But he had a massive second stroke, and God took him, and there's no doubt where he is, because he's everybody who knew Mulgrew Miller said that he was beyond kind, beyond spiritual in his caring for you, a mentor to dozens and dozens. So he passed away yesterday, and here comes Todd Simon. Now, we had planned this interview some weeks back, and when I was listening to Simon Says, I thought to myself, oh my gosh, here's this young man, and he is picking up where some of these beautiful pianists are leaving off. It's as if a torch was passed. And you'll hear for yourself. This is some exciting work you're going to hear in the actual second and third hour of the show. Yeah, one of those beautiful cats that has left us, and way, way too soon. Another Philly homeboy, Michael Brecker. God, do we miss him. Saxophonist extraordinaire. This is back in, what year was this? 1998? This is called By George, from Two Blocks from the Edge. Michael Brecker on Hybrid Jazz. You enjoy yourself now.
Thank you.
Hybrid Jazz.
The very thought of you, and I forget to do the little ordinary things that everyone ought to do. I'm living in a kind of daydream. I'm happy as a king, and foolish though it may seem to me, that's everything. The mere idea of you, the longing here for you, you'll never know how slow the moments go till I'm here to you. I see your face in every flower, your eyes and stars above. It's just the thought of you, the very thought of you, my love, my love, my love, my love, my love. The very thought of you, and I forget to do the little ordinary thing that everyone ought to do. I'm living in a kind of daydream. I'm happy as a king, and foolish though it may seem to me, that's everything. The mere idea of you, the longing here for you, you'll never know how slow the moments go until I'm near to you. I see your face in every flower, your eyes in stars above. It's just the thought of you, the very thought of you, my love.
Haven't heard that voice for a while. Sashal Vasandani. Just like velvet, isn't it? There's some words that come to mind real quickly when you try to think of what it is that you feel in the way of emotions or textures or colors when you hear different voices. First thing about Sashal Vasandani, velvet. Ah, the very thought of you from High Fly from a couple of years ago now. And I was really happy to see, since the last time I checked his website, I couldn't really see anything that was really shaken with Sashal. But now, whoa, this is pretty doggone cool. First, High Fly was produced by the great John Clayton. Now, John Clayton is the father of Gerald Clayton, who is one of the young wizards on keyboard these days. Of course, Gerald was on the show some weeks ago. And Gerald and Sasha got together, and they've done some collaborating, most notably on Gerald Clayton's Life Forum CD. But now I see that tomorrow night through the 1st of June, they're going to be at the Iridium. Gerald Clayton stars, and he's bringing on Sasha as his special guest. Love that! And then, on the 12th of June, Sasha's going to be at Lincoln Center at the request of Wynton Marsalis. Very nice. And I see, happily, that he's going to be at the Strathmore in September. So, anybody who's in the region who hasn't seen the magic of Sasha Vasandhani, you will finally have a chance because he'll be in Bethesda. And in the meantime, after his stint in New York, he's going to go off to Paris. Woohoo! Very nice. The Very Thought of You, one of those classic songs, isn't it? Homeboy, Philly in the house, Joey DeFrancesco, especially from my friend Beach, one of the brides of Funkenstein, who's in the house today in the chat room. Woohoo! Wonderful, wonderful. Yes, the same song that Johnny Mathis did back in the day in the 60s. Love to hear him do that. Also, The Times, beautiful group, covered that song as well. Joey remembers, even though he's a little bit younger than your sister friend here. Joey got together with Larry Coryell on guitar and Jimmy Cobb on drums. The result was the 2012 project called Wonderful, Wonderful. And there is a nod or two to some greats, including Sonny Rollins, Benny Golson, and Duke Ellington. Just really superior stuff. Somebody said, yeah, it's all about jazz. One of the guys who writes for that online review, he said, these guys never phone it in. And that speaks volumes because when you have a group of folks who are in a recording studio, as opposed to somebody who does a track and then MP3s it down the line, there is a difference. And I was so happy to hear Jeffrey Osborne talk about that when he was on the show with us a couple of months ago. He really treasured the fact that he and George Duke were so alike in their thinking that they needed to have folks in the studio to get that feel. It means such a warm difference. It pops. You can hear the ebb and flow. If you've got all these people in the same booth or in the same building even who respect one another, woof, it's a rush. And that was Joey DeFrancesco. Looking good. Michael Brecker, By George, from Two Blocks from the Edge, his fifth album as leader back in 1998. And I was just reading a little bit about Michael Brecker's memorial service. And, of course, I'm going to be thinking about them because we've recently lost some guys in the rhythm and blues world, some beautiful men that have graced us with their music through the years. And I'm not going to get into a list right now. Maybe I'll do another little tribute. It's enough for me to focus on having lost Mulgrew Miller yesterday. So Michael Brecker, he passed away from a form of leukemia in 2007. And he had some bandmates that really loved him, loved working with him. Joey Calderazzo, James Genus, Jeff Tane Watts, Don Elias also. And Joey and James and Jeff were there at the memorial service, and Don could not be there because he passed away in 2006. So, you know, you think about these things because when we lose a national treasure, somebody who has thrilled us with the passion of their music for so long a period of time, your mind starts to go drifting, you know? So I'll try to reel myself back in, but that's where I am today, and that's why it's so nice to be able to tell you that this young and thriving musician who's doing so well in the Baltimore, D.C. area and beyond, getting real buzz way past this Mid-Atlantic region for Simon Says, is coming here in the third hour of the show. Todd Simon will be with us, so stand by. Let us get back to a lady who is very unique, not only because she breathes Israel into what she does. She has a particular way of looking at jazz. She is full of joie de vivre. She dances much of the time. When she performs, she is just exhilarating in her interpretation of songs. I was listening to La Vie en Rose on her recent CD, Claroscuro, and I just felt as though I was in France, and Edith Piaf was in the room, and she was applauding because she loved the interpretation. Anat Cohen, clarinetist and saxophonist and composer and just a special kind of being, has this song called The Wedding from this album. And chiaroscuro is one of those words. It's a, I believe it's an Italian derivation. It's a way of painting that showcases the balance of light and shadow in the paintings. Just a beautiful concept, and that's the way and not figures that her music is. Here she is on Hybrid Jazz. Thank you.
don't know why, but I'm feeling so sad. I long to try something I've never had no kissing. Ooh, what I've been missing. Love a man, oh, where can you be? The night is cold and I'm so all alone. I'd give my soul just to call you my own. Got a moon up above me, but no one to love me. Love a man, oh, where can you be? Ooh, I've heard it said that the thrill of romance can be like a heavenly dream, they say. Yes, I go to bed with a prayer that you make love to me. Strange as it seems, ooh, someday we'll meet and you'll dry all my tears, then whisper sweet little things in my ear. Hugging and a kissing, oh, what I've been missing. Love a man, oh, where can you be?
Good time that day, didn't they? What a lethal combination. Who would have guessed Chris Botti and Gladys Knight getting together would kind of create a steamy scenario like that? Ooh, one of the most delicious versions of Loverman I ever heard. Gladys Knight, who turned 69 2 days ago. and looking good and sounding good. Matter of fact, she's going to be part of the family reunion tour, if you can imagine this, on the 22nd of August in Baltimore at Pier 6, which is on the water as part of this glorious harbor place, summer destination, Gladys Knight and the OJs. I tremble at the thought of that. So here's what happens. Some folks pay in to get under the tent to see the show, and then other folks mosey up to the pier in their boats, have a little wine. Oh, it's so fabulous. That is from Chris Bode's album, and I have to say, one of my favorite collections, To Love Again, the duets from 2005. And this was released near Chris and my birthday in October. So it just has a special meaning, his eighth studio album. And Chris, no sense keeping up with him because he really does not have a home. Seriously, I don't think he does. He's just on the road all the time. So his house is a suitcase. But Gladys is just doing what she wants to do these days. And when she's on tour, that voice is strong, just amazing. Pick up that album because it's got a bunch of people that you don't necessarily expect to see on an album by Chris Bode, including Steven Tyler, who does a smashing sensation of the song Smile. Oh, it's nice. Kenny Barron from 1995, Sail Away, the name of the song, Wanton Spirit, with Roy Haynes and Charlie Hayden. Some of the best piano and drums and bass you'll ever hear. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. That was our moody set right there. Kenny Barron has a birthday on the way, June the 9th, and besides the fact that Kenny is going to be 70, on June the 9th, he's going to have his Village Vanguard celebration on the 4th through the 9th, so that's coming up soon. And Kenny is very mindful of the fact that he lost his friend Mulgrew Miller yesterday, because it is said that Mulgrew, besides the fact that he loved Oscar Peterson, and when Mulgrew saw him for the first time on TV, his world changed. He also very much appreciated what Kenny Barron was able to do on the piano. And I bet you any amount of money that Kenny Barron this day is thinking to himself, here I am going to be 70 years old, and here's Gru, who left us at the age of 57. There, but for the grace of God, go I, you know? Whew, just really stuff to contemplate these days. Back in 95, when Wanton Spirit was done, that was considered by the Village Voice to be the number one jazz album of that year. That's pretty heavy stuff. Nominated for a Grammy, too. And just good company. Kenny has always kept amazing company. We started the set with Anat Cohen, Claroscuro. Love to say it. That's the name of the album. And Jason Lindner on piano, Joe Martin on bass, and Daniel Friedman also helping out Anat on that particular album. And good chemistry for all those players. Just found out that she's going to be at Kennett Square, my Philly friends, Longwood Gardens, on the 1st of June, just a couple of days away. So if you are in the area, if you want to be absolutely thrilled by an assembly of talent that really, on one hand, takes music very seriously and know the ins and outs of jazz, but delivering it with such joy, you want to see Anat. She's really something. We are going to do a little special set here, and Beach is listening, by the way, Matt and Griselda. She just wrote to me. I have to to do this. Apparently, there is a rule in the chat room that if you do too many smiley faces, you get your fingers slapped. So my friend Beej in Southern California is listening, but she got her fingers slapped for doing too many smileys. Wow! I feel like I'm back in third grade with Mrs. Durbin. Oh, Beej, you'll be back soon. If you're not back by the end of the show, calls will be made. Oh, my goodness. So funny. Todd Simon, she's laughing, by the way, about it. She thinks it's hysterical. Todd Simon will be with us in the third hour of the show. We are in the second hour, and this is going to be an unusual flavor. We're focusing on some birthdays. One of the consummate all-time, what can I even call this woman? One of the all-time wonders of music and entertainment doesn't get mentioned often enough. Her birthday is coming up on the 3rd. She is no longer with us. She was born in 1906 and passed away in 1975. One of the most fascinating stories you will ever hear in your lifetime belongs to Josephine Baker. So we're going to go back to 1931, if it's okay with you. First, we're going to start out with Chick Corea and the Acoustic Band, followed by my friend Daniel Domage, since we're going to be doing something so French, by Josephine Baker. First, Chick and the Guys on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Someday my prince will come, but I ain't holding my breath. Thank you. necessarily tell you that voice that she was the toast of the world at one time. She set Paris, France on fire. Do you hear me? This woman is so incredible. The more you read about Josephine Baker, the more you fall in love with the notion that someone can come from the depths of despair to ascend to the highest level of notoriety that the world has known. Seriously, I'm not even being dramatic about this, though she was crazy. June 3rd, 1906, she was born, and her natural parents, for a few different reasons, could not take care of her. She was adopted, but somehow she got into a scenario whereby even the adopted parents didn't work out. By the time she was 12, she was living on the street in cardboard houses. And she got involved. She just heard her own voice, started to dance. She was a quick learner. She was very creative, found her way to New York. Within a space of time, she was one of the highest paid dancers in New York, thought it would be a good idea to go to France. Best decision anybody could have made. She was absolutely free with her expression. She was virtually nude on stage when she danced. Among her many names, Bronze Venus, Black Pearl, Creole Goddess, she had a costume that was made essentially of fake bananas. And those bananas got a workout when she danced. 1934, she was in a major motion picture called Zuzu. She was the first African-American female to star in this production. First across the board, honest to gosh. She was the first to integrate a concert hall. She absolutely bent the minds of a multicultural audience. But on the other side of her, besides being gloriously sexy and beautiful and incandescent and Amazonian, she was also amazingly political. She had a political sense about her, a sense of diplomacy and fairness, so much so she worked with the French resistance. She became a citizen. She was an American. She became a French citizen in like 1937. And the French government gave her a high award for working with the resistance. Moreover, she became friends with the kings, Martin Luther King Jr. and Coretta Scott King. When Martin was taken from us in 1968, Mrs. King asked Josephine Baker to take over the leadership of the civil rights movement. And Josephine said, "No, I've got other obligations." I'll say she adopted 12 children, multicultural children. She's amazing with a capital A. Ernest Hemingway said about her, she was the most exciting person he had ever seen, ever, on a stage or otherwise. She just was explosive, and she needed to have a song in her honor. So there. Oh, my. Daniel Domash. I'll bet you he knows a thing or two about Josephine Baker. Oh, yeah. You grow up in France, you hear stories about Josephine. Daniel has a wonderful guitar-rich and scintillating CD. You heard French Connection from it, Lost in My Thoughts. And like Keiko Matsui, Daniel has the dot, 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 but Keiko had it after the road, dot, dot, dot. Daniel has it, dot, 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 Lost in My Thoughts. So you get the picture that he really is. just so sweet. He is doing something special on what is Flag Day in America, certainly not in France, but he's doing something special. And his Facebook page has the information, and so does DanielDommage.com, but you have to speak French to understand it. Oh, and by the way, Josephine sang a song called J'adieu Amour, which is translated into My Two Loves. There were a few times in her life when she had just that. Okay, enough said. We also heard Chick Corea and the acoustic band, John Patitucci, Dave Weckl, Someday My Prince Will Come, 1989, the year for that particular album title, and it is called Chick Corea and the acoustic band. We have said this before, let us say this again. Chick Corea is going to have a birthday coming up, the 12th. He will be 72. I told T earlier, my son, that he has more dates to play this year than mostly anybody that you'll find online. And different group assemblies. For example, he's going to be with Stanley, as in Clark, and Marcus Gilmore at the Blue Note in Tokyo starting on Monday, and they finish up their gig next Sunday. And then he comes back to the States, and he does various festivals and outings all across the States, and then he'll go back to Europe. It's really amazing. ChickKorea.com has more information. Todd Simon will be with us at the top of next hour. That's less than 30 minutes away. Woohoo! So we'll have to get some music going here. Wanted to make sure I played something else by a lady that was with us last week. That show with Janice Rochelle Littlejohn and Grace Kelly and Haley Neiswanger and Gail Johnson, over 1,000 and more hits since the show. Really something else, talking about women in jazz, and apparently that has sparked an interest. And we heard later on in the show from Gail Johnson. Gail is so psyched because Jazz in Pink is going to be playing for the first time at the Newport Jazz Festival on the 1st of June. Woohoo! And then she's going to be coming to this region. She's going to be playing at the Capitol Jazz Fest with Jazz in Pink. But the Newport Festival is really going to be great because it will have Karen Briggs and Maria Antoinette and Pamela Williams and one of my favorite singers, Lynn Fidmont. Whoa, that's going to be some kind of chemistry. So wanted to play something else by Gail and back it up with a song that you'll remember hopefully from the 70s because it just seems to go hand in hand. Gail would love this from her story. Her story. Gail Johnson and Lynn Roundtree cooking up some Cruisin' After Dark on Hybrid Jazz.
girl. You look a little restless. Yeah, well, you need to come on with me, because I'm going where the fun is. Come on, don't get lazy now. Just a little bit up the road. Just around this. There's something going around inside my head. I think it's something I feel. Something unreal. And so I see my world is upside down. But there is nothing to fear. My business. Thank you.
1974, babies. Woo-hoo! From Euphrates River, the main ingredient, and happiness is just around the bend. Had to play that song. We need to be reminded from time to time that that is true. But in the meantime, got to find your happiness right where you stand or sit. You know what I mean? Yes, got to be grateful for all that you have with an eye and a hope on the future. Cuba Gooding, got to say thank you for a couple of reasons. First of all, because that voice, oh, that voice of the main ingredient, that would be enough reason. But no, there's also Cuba Gooding Jr. Thank you. Thank you, Dad. Oh, yes, we could go on and on about baby boy there, but let's talk about Dad. This is so exciting. There is going to be the third annual fundraiser for the Rhythm and Blues Music Society Black Tie Gala that's happening in the fall. And Cuba Gooding Sr. is going to be part of this. So many folks are going to be honored, and they really want to, this beautiful music society, they want to make sure that the role of rhythm and blues and soul music and all the people who have made that rich and so popular and so full of different kinds of textures within that category keep getting honored. And there are opportunities for new artists to come along that want to pursue that kind of path in life. It's just really wonderful. And then Cuba is going to be at Yoshi's in June on the 12th. Woo, popular date. So one of these days, we'll get to see Cuba Gooding Sr. do his thing, because judging by Facebook, he is looking good. Can I just say, oh my God, it's so wonderful when there are men who were popular back in the day and they have been able to take care of business and take care of themselves. So now they're just graying around the temples and they're in good shape. They've got stamina. I'll stop. Hey, let's do this, shall we? We have, I guess, he'll be at the top of the hour. I'm thinking that he will be, but I'm just judging my time, and I really wanted to do this before we get to Todd Simon at the top of the last hour of the show. I don't want to say too much, because even though I did not know Mulgrew Miller personally, I have felt for a long time very bonded to him because of some people that I love, including Chris McNulty, who knew him well. Why Chris McNulty loved him is because Mulgrew was so benevolent, so kind, and thoughtful that whenever he saw Chris, he would always ask about her son, Sam. Always. And not a dismissive sort of question, but he wanted to know how Sam was doing. He did this for everybody that he met, apparently. This gentle giant, as Chris called him, the majestic one. I wanted to play something for you so that you would know the kind of talent he was if you had never heard him. From Live at the Kennedy Center in, 2006, with Derek Hodge and Rodney Green, who will never be the same. This is the late Mulgrew Miller. That's tough to say. And this is called If I Should Lose You. And we'll go right into a track by Todd Simon on Hyper Jazz. Thank you. This is Hybrid Jazz, and this is Todd Simon.
Thank you.
One of the hotter tracks I have heard recently, when I heard that song, which is called Ticola, exclamation point, I just stopped in my tracks, and then I found out what it meant, and you're about to. Done by a gentleman who has certainly paid his dues, though he's a very young man. This is the kind of guy that you want to have in your corner. You want to hear him play. You want to make sure that you have people like him serve your country. And I'm going to tell you something about this gentleman. He has multiple awards, medals, from his service in the country. And that's a big source of pride. He's a pianist, saxophonist, composer, arranger. One of those guys that I've heard about consistently in the past few years. Never met him face-to-face, but he and I have a lot of the same friends. So whenever I hear about Todd Simon, everybody always has a big old smile on his face because there's a lot of love in the room for him. Here's Todd Simon. Yo, Todd.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, my gosh. You kidding? Simon says, let me tell you something. Todd, this is a piece of work. Wow.
Well, thank you.
You really got some folks together on this, and it just seemed like each one of these tracks is just monumental. You've got some seasoned professionals around you. Correct me if I'm wrong, you also have some of your colleagues from the United States Naval Academy on this CD. So it sounds like a 2013 big band.
Right. And it's not quite a big band. There's 10 of us, and the personnel changes slightly on some of the tracks because we have some special guests. But I'm really excited with how it came out. You know, it was a long time coming. All the songs that I originally composed, and it was just, you know, a basic version on a lead sheet that I could play here with a trio or solo or something like that. And then eventually I was able to arrange all of them for a 10-piece group. And I'm really happy that I was able to get so many great colleagues from both the U.S. Naval Academy band and also a lot of friends and musicians from Baltimore, because that's where I came up, you know, starting from college. And
I know.
It's great to have everybody there.
And, you know, it's so funny, you don't know this, but your first roots were in Dover, Delaware, and it's just so funny about Delaware. There's only three counties, in case no one ever knew about
that.
So,
some Delaware trivia. There's only three counties. It's a very small state, not the smallest, because that would be Rhode Island.
Look, I have a lot of love for Delaware. My sister lives in Wilmington, and I lived in Rehoboth and also a few other places in Delaware, yes. So when I saw that you were from Dover, I went, look at this. And then you came to Baltimore because you were one of those blessed individuals who was able to get into the Peabody Conservatory. So is that what brought you to the area from Delaware, the fact that you went to Peabody? Walk us back there.
Yes, absolutely. Although, it's interesting, both my parents were from Southern Maryland, so we still have a lot of family in the area, and I've always been around, you know, different places in Maryland and D.C. growing up, you know, when we would visit, but definitely born and raised in Dover, Delaware, and had a great experience there with music, and I came to Baltimore, for college. I was accepted in the Peabody, very fortunate to be there with great faculty and colleagues who were there that I continue to play with, like Blake Meister, Russell Kirk, Sharif Tahir. It's just a ton of talent has come out of there and continues to, which is exciting to see also.
For sure. One of the folks that we know pretty well is Mark Meadows. And
absolutely.
Mark, he just finished his education, and probably for Mark it will be ongoing, but whenever I think of Peabody, I think of Mark because I see him frequently in the church that we attend, and he's, besides the other hats that he wears, he's the director of the music there. So Peabody is one of those places, oh my gosh, if you come away from Peabody, you have learned practically all you need to learn to face your musical path in life.
Yeah, and that's one of the great things about Peabody is that I was able to play in such a variety of ensembles, you know, from a full big band to the Latin jazz ensemble to accompanying dance classes. We had some Dixieland or New Orleans traditional jazz groups. It wasn't an official school ensemble, but between all the students that were there, everyone had so many, such a variety of influences and places where they came from and music that they wanted to play that it was great to have all that come together.
Well, you know what? Rewind even more, because that was
mm-hmm.
when you were a teenager, and of course, and you're a young person now, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
But what was it that inspired you initially when you were a little guy? You certainly must have known, because you just do by osmosis, that your dad was involved in music. And in case anybody doesn't
right.
know, your dad was the founder of the Fabulous Hubcaps, which is spoken of in reverent tones in many circles.
It is. They were the premier show band for decades, really, starting from, I think, 1974. And they're still playing, although not as frequently, and some of the original members are no longer there. But it's definitely from birth. I mean, my parents tell me some of my earliest memories were on the road. Even when I was still, you know, and my mom's tell me, they would sing to me on stage, and then they would bring us out as kids, and we'd sleep in bird cases and be on the road in hotels. And when we were a little older, my brother and I, we would all go around in the summer in an RV, because most of my dad's gigs were in the summer, and my mom was a teacher, so she was off. So it all worked out, but we could travel around. And they were playing all over Maryland, D.C., Virginia, Pennsylvania. So I've always been around music. They were playing it in the house all the time, and started on piano lessons in third grade, saxophone, started playing in school in fifth grade, and have just kept it going since then. And had a great music program in junior high and high school.
That's great.
Playing a lot of different groups there. Played in a few gospel churches when I was younger, and that was also a big influence, because I always loved playing that music. And then getting Peabody just opened up a whole other world between, you know, the fabulous musicians in the community in Baltimore and now in D.C. where I do most of my gigs. So I've just been very fortunate all my life
to
be surrounded by great,
you really
great
were.
People, so.
And people dismiss the whole idea, you know, through the years. We've all heard the stories of children who had parents, either one or both was musical, but you really did it. You were one of those little kids who slept in the guitar case.
Right. There's pictures.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That is so funny. So
yeah, and it's funny to say, because I've had a few experiences recently, and then also just from making a CD, it's kind of like a major life milestone. It lets you step back and see kind of where you were, you know, earlier in your life and how it led up to that. And I had so many formative experiences with music when you're younger, either seeing a great concert with people that you know, kind of idolize, and being around people that were great teachers and mentors. And it's interesting to see that now. I'm all on the way, and now there's younger guys coming up from, you know, younger than me, and to see some of them look up to me is kind of fascinating. It's a great feeling, especially like Mark Meadows, because he was, I think, 2 years behind me at Peabody, and he's become a great pianist and singer as well. I was able to see his grad recital a few weeks ago, and that was great.
Really?
His dad came and sang for a few things to us. Yeah.
And you know, it's funny that you should mention, you know, basically you're saying the whole idea of torch passing, and
yes.
it's just so odd. It really is, Todd, that, you know, you're on the show today. We had planned this weeks ago, and who could have foreseen that we would lose Mulgrew Miller yesterday?
Yes, it's very, very sad news. I mean, he's just a giant, you know, physically and musically. And it's really, he really stands out among the pianists of the modern generation. I guess since, you know, the big four of like Herbie Hancock, McCoy Tyner, Chick Corea, Bill Evans, you know, since the 80s and 90s, he was just so prominent and featured on so many recordings. It's just a testament to how great of a player he was. And then his solo work, which you don't often see, is great. So as a pianist, you can definitely respect that because that's a whole other level of ability. And so just a great soloist, a great accompanist by man, and as a leader of his own groups, a composer, arranger. And unfortunately, I didn't get to see him play live, although my brother was able to attend the most recent concert he did at Hindy Music with Tim Green. And we talked to him briefly. It was just a great experience. So, yeah, what can you say?
And you know, you just mentioned that you had played gospel music. You know, when you dig around to do research on these different kinds of legends, you find out some information that shouldn't come as any surprise, especially when you take into consideration the kind of player that Mulgrew Miller was. People seem to gravitate to him because there are those that can be classically trained, and that's wonderful. It's always helpful to know the whole, the discipline and the mathematics involved in the way to play so that if you have a basis, you're able to express your creativity later. But Mulgrew, he had a background from Mississippi, and he got involved in soul music and, just like you, gospel music.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
when you have that background, when you bring that to jazz, wow, is that a difference? Because then the warmth comes into the playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always fascinating to me to see where all the different influences come from musically. Because when we first started doing the gospel music, my brother and I were like, wow, this is really exciting music. It almost sounds like, you know, Earth, Wind, and Fire or some of these, you know, 70s groups, some of the ones for the, you know, more upbeat gospel praise music. But it wasn't that, but it was influenced by them. It was the other way around. And you have all kinds of music that kind of, you know, merged together and moved around at the same time in the early 1900s that eventually became jazz. It was, you know, European classical music, spirituals, Afro-Cuban styles, you know, and folk music. It just all came from everywhere. And it's something that it's fascinating to me to see.
Oh, yeah.
Because you never
know
what you can be inspired from different places. You know, so all, you know, world music today, you can go and find brilliant indigenous music in other countries. And jazz has a way of kind of bringing it into its tent and putting, you know, their own variation on it. But it's all blues and music like that. So
well,
you really see it, and it comes out. And it's very, very, what I meant to say, also related to some gospel music, spirituals, and with jazz. So you can definitely see the connection, and it helped me, you know, in my
and some artists, you see it more than others.
God. He's another big influence going in. And he's kind of like a perfect bridge between gospel music and jazz music. And you can just see it. Even if he's not playing a gospel song or a hymn, you know, you can hear the style and the influence in that.
He made me smile because I love Cyrus Chestnut so much.
But Cyrus was a big influence when I was young, and also I want to say for sure Gene Harris, just an incredible bluesy, swinging piano player. Not as well known as a lot of others, but he was my guy starting out. Absolutely.
You know, that's so, I love to hear that. You just touched on that a little bit ago. You know, here with Mulgrew, when he first saw Oscar Peterson jumped out at him. And then, you know, down the road, somebody saw Mulgrew Miller, and Grew just popped at that person. So now, here you are in this catbird seat, and Simon Says is getting a lot of buzz. So now, these young cats and kitties are going to be looking at you going, oh, my God, if I could only play like him.
Well, that's very flattering.
Absolutely.
I'm just excited for more people to be able to hear it and hopefully spreads and goes global. So.
Well, you have to explain to us, and I'm hearing you most of the time, but it's a little bit muffled on the phone, so I don't know if that's
better. Yeah, hold it closer. Okay.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's one of the songs here, and actually there's a few, and I'm full of questions, but I want you to explain what we just heard. Ticola.
Yes.
Tell us what
Ticola.
That means, because that's awesome.
Ticola, yes. All right. So that was it's actually an acronym. It stands for The Inexorable Quality of Life. So it's a big long thing. And it's really, I just wanted to put in something that makes people feel good. In the song, you can kind of hear it goes up and down in different areas. And to get kind of musical geeky on you, the main part of it is a sus chord, which just has a wonderful open quality. And you feel like you can just stay there and play and be inspired by it. And even though it's not moving anywhere, you feel like there's motion. So that kind of gave it that quality that you might feel in it. And just put the Latin beat. Or one of the Latin jazz beats on there. It was an opportunity to have Joe McCarthy, our drummer, kind of stretch up because he's very strong in that area. He plays with the Afro Bop Alliance, which is a great Latin jazz group. They have several great CDs out, one of them won a Grammy. And it was also, at that point in the CD, I hadn't written any songs that had a bass solo yet. And since, a bass player, Blake Meister, is such a great player, I had to put one in. So, and it's a chance to do that. And the song ended up being, it was the very last one that I composed, and it was right up until the night before the recording. Somehow I got it out in time and brought it in, and everyone was fighting in the studio. And we did a couple takes, and they just nailed it. And they were fantastic musicians, everybody in there. So very fortunate I was able to get everybody on that. So.
Todd, I got to tell you, you know, we talk about this all the time with instrumental music, and if you can possibly pick it up with different kinds of songs, that's very cool. But this song was so joyful to me. It just like it was like taking a bath or taking a walk and clearing your head. It just really did. It was like infusing you. Say that again?
Refreshing or rejuvenating?
Oh, absolutely. Refreshing. But even more than that, it just, it's one of those songs that if you don't feel good in whatever kind of mood that you're in, not to dismiss it as merely a feel-good song, because there's just sheer artistry involved in this. But you could feel the joy of the intent of your writing.
Oh, wow. Thank you. That's awesome. I love to hear different people's, everyone's reaction to the music and how they like certain songs or what they like about certain songs. That's the beautiful sentiment that you shared with me. I hope more people will be able to share that as well.
People need to open their ears and really listen. I mean, sometimes you can't, and it's just, sadly, music that you have put so much blood, sweat, and tears into. Sometimes, because we get to live such frenetic lives, it becomes background music. And, oh, my gosh, this is worth so much to sit down and listen to. So don't even buy the CD if you're not going to sit down and listen to it.
Well, it's not going that far.
Okay.
I mean, I won't be insulted if it's background music, but I do hope that folks can take some time and really listen when they're not doing something else, and just sit back and relax and see where the music takes you. And that's the other thing. It's so tough nowadays with everything, so many things are going on, and it's hard to just sit down and focus your attention on one thing, even for a couple of minutes. And all these songs are pretty long, it's not like the 3 or 4 minute radio singles. They're all at least, 6, 7, 8, 9 minutes. But I would hope that you'd be rewarded if you actually sit down and take time to check it out. And there's no vocals, it's all instrumental. And I definitely tried to put in a variety of music in different styles. And with all the instruments in there, with a 10-piece group, you get a lot of cool harmonic colors and things that happen. So,
cool
harmonic colors. Yes. So, and hopefully after words multiple visits as well. So it's not just something you put in once and then you're like, okay, that was good. And that's what some people have told me, so I appreciate that as well.
Well, people are going to be very struck by how you took the time to pay homage to a couple of thoughts here, because you're really good. I love the whole package of the CD, and thank you very much for sending to me, because when you have the hard copy, it is completely different than just having an MP3 download, you know?
Exactly. And especially because of all the live notes that explain the
story.
So you saw original music. So, you know,
you
want to take the time to figure out what they're all about and explain that.
Oh, it means everything. I mean, not only the musicians who play with you, because they deserve to be mentioned. One of our mutual friends is on here with you. Naturally, I'm going to be really interested in what else Todd Marcus is doing.
Oh, absolutely. And Todd, for sure, I'm so glad he was able to be a part of it, because he was a big influence with his group that was a 9-piece group. So I saw that and I thought, man, this is really cool. I mean, I'd like to do something like that. You know, if he can do it, I mean, I can do it. So
that's right.
His group was playing, you know, a few years before they got started. I think his first CD was out around 2004. And I just was listening to it again recently. I'm like, man, this is great stuff. And I'm happy to continue the tradition. Maybe it'll inspire some more folks to put out something that's a little different and with a larger group than you would normally see. But there's nothing wrong with trios and quartets and quintets, but this kind of lets you stretch out your compositional and arranging abilities a little bit and give more people a chance and hear a lot of different instruments that you wouldn't necessarily get to otherwise, all at the same time.
Well, you mentioned that it took a little while to get this launched. How much time are we talking about, and what kind of gigs have you been doing? I see that when I look at your Facebook page, you have been at various hotels and restaurants, and this is sometimes this could be sometimes very frustrating, because you're playing and you're taking all the tools that you've learned and all the passion that you have, and sometimes people are paying attention and sometimes they're not even focused. So how long from start to finish was this CD in the planning stages?
Okay. Well, there's a couple things in there I definitely want to talk about. So just for writing the CD and then also about different kinds of gigs that I've been doing. So
yeah.
I think the first song that I wrote on there was What Simon Says, and that was just for a class at Peabody to write a blues, you know, write a melody for a blues. And I just had that basic melody with the chords. And so that was about almost 10 years ago. And all the songs, you know, in the years since then, I've written out just the basic version, something that I usually play with a trio or a quartet. And then it was about 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, when I was in the already in the Naval Academy band, and they approached me about arranging some music so we could play something new or something different. And I thought it would be a cool idea to try a 10-piece group instead of, because, you know, for a whole big band, arranging seemed like kind of a daunting task. And I thought it would be a neat idea to try to do that. So it was almost based more around the players that we had there. But also I figured, you know, we'll be playing at other places as well. So think about the other players I could use on there. Because you always want to hear about great arrangers writing for musicians that are in the group. You want to showcase their strengths, and it would come out in the arrangement. So I definitely did that. We had a great trumpet player in our band for a little bit, Mike Bogart, who played in both Maynard Ferguson's band and Power of Power. So he had a great, you know, lead chops, a high range, and Joe McCarthy, of course, on drums.
Yes.
Up in a lot of Latin music. And at the time, we had Cam Collins, sax player, who was on Alpha. He's a very good friend. He moved to New York now, doing great things. So there was plenty of output features, and as a sax player myself, I wanted to put a lot of sax on them just because I love the sound of it, you know, and I'm more familiar with it. So as opposed to something like trombone. I did that, and it took me probably a couple weeks to get all the arrangements together for these songs, because I had arranged McCoy's mode while I was still at Peabody, and I kind of just expanded that arrangement. But all the other ones, yeah, it took me a couple weeks, and then we rehearsed and did two concerts in 2011 where we played with the Naval Academy Band guys. And then we ended up recording in March of last year. So we were able to knock it all out in one day, except for the guitar solo, he came in and did that. And then I spent, it took about a year for the release date of the CD from the time that we recorded. And it was just because, you know, we all have pretty busy schedules, and I wanted to go in
sure.
and do some editing and mixing and mastering. So between all the gigs, it took a while. And then I wanted to get everything else set up with the actual physical CD production and putting up the website and making sure you have all your copyright information and things like that. It's a big undertaking. So anyway, I'll kind of segue into all the different gigs that I've been doing. yeah. So definitely been a lot of more fortunate as a piano player. You definitely get caught so many gigs. You're being somewhat competent. So I think I've reached that. And yeah, hotels, restaurants, weddings, clubs, private parties, any kind of thing. Yeah, outdoor festivals. Pretty much anything you can name up. It's been a lot, and a lot of great musicians, and learning from them, being on gigs where someone else was the leader, and then later on when you become a leader, you definitely appreciate it more, what they're doing. I've been playing with the band at the 18th Street Lounge in D.C. for the past few years with Don Monte and McCoy on trumpet. He's a great trumpet player, you know. I'm saying we do that every week, Friday and Saturday, and there helped me a lot because we did a wide range of music. We did some straight ahead jazz, a lot of Latin jazz, R&B, funk.
Really?
And yeah. And it was great for me because we also had the late great Jimmy Junebug Jackson on drums, who had played with many, many great musicians, especially
wow.
Jimmy Smith for many years.
Yeah. Oh.
And also,
cool.
Yeah. And also Torres McKean on bass. So I was with those guys, all of us together, for about a year. And that's just an invaluable opportunity and experience. Because Torres is, you know, one of the best bass players around. And then he's in there, and we're doing gig every week, all together, and all these different styles. And then you get ideas from them and great stories
sure.
about the people they've played with. And not to mention just all the guys in the group are great musicians as well. We've had on saxophone, Ryan Link, Brent Brookhead, Elijah Baldwin.
Well, I am just I'm thinking about our time. I definitely wanted to play another
yeah.
song because, you know,
okay.
as with really awesome songs,
mm-hmm.
it, those people who take jazz seriously create sometimes as they go along, the tracks are a little bit longer. So I wanted to make sure that we played either, and these are two other songs that popped out at me, and this
mm-hmm.
this is in no way telling you anything else, Todd, except to say that the initial first and second time that I heard this CD, something
mm-hmm.
clicked where I felt related to the song. You know how that goes, right?
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
Yep. So,
identify something, yeah.
Yes, I really did. So, one of the songs was one of those homage pieces that I alluded to,
mm-hmm.
and this
mm-hmm.
Was all about the flavor or the inspiration of Herbie Hancock's 70s music, Bedtime Story.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. How did it come to be that you thought of that title, Bedtime Story, and equated it with something or some things that Herbie did in the 70s? That's pretty cool.
Well, so the main inspiration was his song, Tell Me a Bedtime Story. And I sat there thinking about a lot of different things I could do that would kind of allude to it and make people, you know, think of that. And I decided the simplest one would just be, you know, bedtime story. So it's a different one. You know, it's not exactly the same as his tune, but it draws mostly inspiration from that. And also from a lot of other music he did, from the Fat Albert series. You know, they did an album, Fat Albert Rotunda, and I just love it. It's just great music. It kind of mixes jazz and funk, and it's exciting. It's fun to listen to. I know also other great musicians on recording as well. So I wanted to have something like that, because I also pay tribute to, you know, McCoy Tyner on another track. So these were, you know, my main influences, definitely Oscar Peterson as well. So I'm happy if it was able to come out in a song as a loving tribute or homage.
And
so
it's interesting that that Herbie is one of the folks that made you take a second look and inspired you, because Herbie certainly has been a hybrid jazz artist through the years, that's for sure, incorporating all these different kinds of music into what his jazz is. So that's awesome.
Absolutely. It's great to see someone that just, he's done so much and constantly changing and evolving, and he's been great at everything that he's tried, from coming up in straight ahead jazz and playing in Miles' group, and going throughout all the retro period and fusion, and then coming back. I wanted to see him actually a few years ago at Warp Trap. He was in a group with Chris Potter and Lionel Lewicking, and he's still incredible today. So,
definitely. Well, just feast your ears on this. This is real ear candy for folks who really appreciate the genre of jazz, because Todd Simon gets it, and then some. This is Bedtime Story from Simon Says on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Simon, do you hear me? That is groovalicious.
Groovalicious. I love it. Yes.
Wow. You know what? Yeah. The addition of Sean Purcell on guitar was really smoking on that track. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I'm glad I decided to do that. That was kind of a last-minute decision, but it worked out. Yeah. And, man, Sean is also in the Naval Academy band, and we've been able to do some gigs together outside of that. And he's just a fantastic player. There's so many around in the area, and we actually are playing a gig together next week on June 7th.
Oh, really?
It's going to feature Tim Warfield. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Tim Warfield's coming up from Philly, is he?
Yeah. So this is a place called the Tinderbox Cigar Lounge down in Waldorf, Maryland. And they've been having music, you know, for a while. And once a month, and now they want to bring in some bigger name stars. And you may also have a big name trumpet star coming in. Which I can't confirm it just yet, but he is very, 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 very well known. So,
really?
We're very excited about that. And I'll be playing organ, and Sean will be on guitar. And yeah, it's going to be very exciting. So.
Well, let me just go back there. Possibly, okay. Are we talking about a trumpet player that is coming to the region anyway in August?
Not sure about August, but he is coming to the DC Jazz Festival the day before on June 6th. So,
oh, okay. Okay.
One of the reasons we were maybe able to work it out, because otherwise, yeah. I know.
Wow. That's something. Things are popping. And look, you're going to have to tell me this right now. We can either talk up until the top of the hour, because this show is going to end technically promptly at 4, or would you like me to play Simon Says, which is 9 minutes? It's up to you, Ben.
I'd love to talk all day. Yeah, we could talk some more, and then maybe in the last couple of minutes we can start out the time it's there for a little piano solo thing. So.
Well, we wouldn't get it all in, so we'll just talk,
yeah.
And I'll just save Simon Says for the next show, because sometimes when the title of the piece, the project, is pivotal. And there's always a story about why the title track came to be. We'll just save it, because I want people to savor every note of what you've played. So we'll just talk about what you're going to be doing. I see that you're going to be playing with a gal that I've never met, but I really want to see her play, is Kristen Callahan.
Yes, it's next Thursday, June 6th at Andy Music. Kristen Callahan, and we also have the great John Pineda on bass.
Wow.
Excellent player. Yeah. So, yeah, Kristen's really cool. She just released a new CD. It came out that features Warren Wolf and all kinds of great players. Vince Evans, who else is on that? I think Jason Jefferson on drums. So, definitely check that out. I'll be playing at Sullivan's on June 14th. Downtown, that's with Irene Yolente, another great singer.
I know. She's awesome.
Yeah. It'll be her and myself and Max Murray, bass player. Really, really good.
You know what, Todd? This is an interesting question. I'm going to try to phrase it as best as possible.
Okay.
You seem to, lately, maybe since I was introduced to Tim Green, who is based in Baltimore. Tim and you and Kristen and Todd, and there's a group of young talent in this region, Baltimore and D.C. I'm just going to talk about Baltimore, D.C., not Mid-Atlantic per se. But there is a group of young talent that has raised the bar for other people to take note of. You have found yourself in a situation where you are getting the finger beckoned to you to play these gigs. Are you aware of the fact that you are considered a first call pianist?
That's very humbling and exciting. It's funny you mentioned Tim Green, because I was actually listening to his interview with you to kind of get me in the spirit, and he did a great job. It's incredible, because I started out like anybody else, and taking lessons and going through school and college. And then all the great musicians around Baltimore and D.C. Letting me sit in and eventually calling me to play at the venues like the Caton Castle and the New Haven Lounge when it was still open, and down at Berkeley and South Point. And these are just tremendous, tremendous players. Jeff from Baltimore, I mean, that's Jeffrey, Eric Kennedy, Warren Wolf, Tim Green, Craig Austin, Todd Marcus.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've got to play with Wayne Goffigan a couple times, the drummer. You know, he's great. Benny Russell. There's just, I feel bad if I leave anybody out. I don't want to just.
Oh, Benny Russell. Benny Russell's something else. Nate, what a history he has.
Yeah, Benny. Alex Norris, of course, who's on the CD. Tom Williams, Whit Williams. And everyone has been so supportive and encouraging, you know, throughout my time here. And then the fact that I'm able to contribute with them musically on a higher level is just incredible to me. Where I started and now where I am, where a lot of people are calling me a gig.
Well, what do you want to do now that Simon Says is out? Because it's been out for a pretty short period of time. And you know that folks are buzzing about this because, the music is not necessarily what you would hear. I don't even know if there are any rules anymore about somebody attempting to do a new jazz project, a debut album. I don't even know. It doesn't even matter what anybody's expectations are. But
right.
you have attempted to do different sorts of flights of fancy. You really wanted to do what you wanted to do as opposed to falling into, and this is something I try to get away from with this show, the folks who try to stay within the box. You didn't want to do that. You wanted to push and push and get creativity functioning at a level where folks were free to express themselves with you.
Yeah,
so,
no, absolutely. And especially since it was my debut as a leader, and there's so much music coming out that's already, I mean, there's so much music already in the history that for to listen to, but and there's more coming out every day. If I was going to put something out, that I wanted it to be, you know, definitive. You know, like, this is a huge project encompassing as many aspects of myself as possible, and wanted it to stand out. And, yeah, that was important to me.
Well, it does. It does. And now, what do you want to see happen with it?
Well, we did have a great CD release party at On the Music back in May, and I would like to have some more gigs with the full group, because it's not something you see very often, and people performing at once. You know, I try to line up some more gigs later this summer, and you can also do some smaller groups involved, just playing a composition, but it really would be nice to have that with everybody. And I'll put some of the videos up from that other concert as well. We get more people to check out our YouTube.
Okay, I didn't hear that last part. So say that last part again.
Oh, okay, I'm going to put up some of the videos from the concert we did, because everyone, you know, check out video now as well as audio, because that way you really see the interaction between musicians and how people are liking what they're doing and getting into it and
meeting
each other, and that was a great experience. So we hope to do some more and get it out there more, and as many people as possible that can listen to it and contribute, and also because I mentioned on the CD that part of the proceeds will go to AmeriCares, which is a relief organization based in America that helps, you know, America and the whole world. So you can do good while listening to music.
I'm so glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, not everyone is in a good situation right now. So I feel like coming among the people that find themselves, you know, relatively better off to help out. But
well,
radical notion that, you know, not everyone feels it, I guess.
Oh, bless your heart. If you're doing this on your debut CD, then you really have set a trend for a lot of people to pay attention. How did you get involved with the organization?
Well, that's right. I hope other people do get inspired to do similar things. Actually, it happened. I'm just being online, and I think this is back when the earthquake in Haiti or maybe Japan, and they were talking about a different organization. Nothing against the Red Cross, but a bigger part of their budget was not directed at, you know, helping the direct effort. And America was able to kind of stretch their dollars more. And the fact that they helped out people in America and around the world as well. So they're not only helping, but kind of being an ambassador to the country was an appealing thing. So, and it's something that you can see tangible benefits, you know, a natural disaster strikes. And then they're there and they bring stuff that people can use. It's not this, like you're just sending off a check to somebody, you know. So it's important that people, you know, feel like they're part of it as well. So that's why I like it. There's many things you can do besides give money and also volunteer or just let other people know about it. Whatever you can to help, it's great.
It really is. And I'm so glad that you're involved like that, because these days, oh, my gosh, we need people to understand that there's no more us and them. This mm-hmm. is we, and we need to get our heads refocused on how we can help as much as possible to people who need it the most, as opposed to
absolutely,
you know, getting all narrow visioned about, well, let's keep it in America, by golly. You know, that's getting to be a little ridiculous. Is there a way for folks to know where you're going to play, Todd? Is there a place? We have 90 seconds left.
Okay. Well, the best place is on Facebook, because I post all my gigs there. And
okay.
That would be a good way to do it. So look up Pat Simon on Facebook, and I list all my gigs and also throughout the month when they are. So the address, if you're typing it in, would be facebook.com/Todd.Simon.524. If you want, I can just list a couple of upcoming gigs that I want to go to. The one definitely in the Baltimore area will be tomorrow at Lexington Market in 12-2 with John Lanthorpe on trumpet. It's great.
Oh.
Did a great gig last weekend with Tim Green and Ramir Mendez and his son John Lanthorpe on drums. That was a lot of fun. I'll be doing, like we said, Indie Music on the 6th with Kristen Callahan. June 14th at Sullivan's, Irene Llorente. I'll be doing solo piano at the Oregon Grill up in the Hopkinsville area. That's June 2nd and June 16th from 6 to 10. I'll be playing at the Timpano restaurant in Rockport, June 4th, June 20th, and June 27th. That'll be piano or sax or organ or all of the above.
Oh, 10 seconds, Todd. Oh, hold on.
Yeah,
all right, cool.
Okay.
Facebook. Thank you so much, Todd Simon. Bless your heart, and we'll do this again.
I can't wait. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, Todd.
Bye.
And thank you to everybody who tuned in today to Blog Talk Radio and Hybrid Jazz.